Please say a silent prayer. Hallelujah, amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we start our hymnal session. Please sing hymn 351. 351. Verse 1.
Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise betonement, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest.
Second stanza.
Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each all my cares if they would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor above, the protection of his chosen treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made.
Last stanza.
Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation. Offer me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, at all a trouble meeting, to take us from our Father's hand. One by one, that is the moment's fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Please sing the next hymn, 206. 206. First stanza.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace.
Second stanza.
My earthly house will fall, I cannot tell how soon to be, but this I know, my all in all, has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace.
Third stanza.
When face the golden sun, beneath the rosy tint of west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story said by grace.
Last stanza.
Someday it will when I watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, where my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace.
Please sing the next hymn, 382. 382. First stanza.
Please to my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Live to thy God, to all the reprobate. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end.
Second stanza.
Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. On our mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below.
Last stanza.
Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on. Then we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joy is restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last.
Please sing the last hymn, 224. First stanza.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Stanza.
I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name.
That stanza.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide.
Fourth stanza.
Comes from thee, send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares, the will supply. On thee for blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Our hymnal session ends here. May all glory and praises be unto our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah.
Let us all say silent prayer to prepare our hearts. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we shall commence with our morning Sabbath. Can we please sing hymn 171? 171.
Shall be the morn of song.
Give thanks to our Lord Jesus. We shall hand this morning Sabbath into the hands of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, we will pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. For our morning Sabbath, we continue to discuss glorious church. Glorious church, consciousness and fulfillment of entrusted commission. What is a glorious church? A glorious church is whereby the church, the members, we are conscious about the commission and then to fulfill the entrusted commission. We are the church, ecclesia, the called out assembly, those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. So it is an assembly, the called out people. So we, every one of us, those who have been saved by the Lord, so we are the church. And today, the Lord has entrusted the commission to the church. That means us, every one of us, with the commission. Therefore, we should be very conscious of this entrusted commission and then to fulfill, to do this entrusted commission. What more, the end is at hand. We will discuss into the mission of True Jesus Church. True Jesus Church, we have four missions. This work has been entrusted to us. So we are to fulfill this entrusted commission. Firstly, the mission of True Jesus Church, we are to revive or restore the apostolic church. We are to revive or restore the apostolic church. We can see the destruction and restoration of the temple in the Old Testament. The destruction, restoration of temple in Old Testament, it typifies the decline and restoration of the church in the New Testament. Therefore, today, we have this mission to revive, restore the apostolic church, the true church. The theme, what is the theme of the Bible? The theme of the Bible is salvation, salvation. Jesus saved, but he saved through the church. The church is God's kingdom on earth, whereby God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, today, the church, we have to fulfill this work of salvation. Jesus saved, but he saved through the church. Let's see Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." We understand how the Lord, he was exalted. He was given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everyone should bow to worship. And then how there's no any other name under heaven whereby man can be saved but through this name Jesus, for he's saved. And then, so the Lord exalted, he become the Savior, he saved. But how he saved? He saved through the church. Verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Another gospel tells us how the Lord commissioned them to go out to preach to all nations, to preach to the world. To preach and to make disciples of all nations. So this is evangelism. And then to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is Jesus. For Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these are not names. So the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit is Jesus. And then teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age, to teach them to observe all that the Lord had commanded. So the church had been entrusted to go and tend, to go and tend the lamb of the Lord, to shepherd the sheep of the Lord in pastoring work. Therefore then, the apostolic church, they received this commission to evangelize and then to pastor, so that the church can also grow to maturity. The church grow in quality and in quantity. However, at the end of the first century, we can see the church were experiencing threats. From the book of Revelation especially, we are able to see near the end of the first century how we experience or see the church were going through threats. Firstly, the threat of persecutions, tribulation. So their faith are being tested and being tempted. So there's this danger, threat of giving up the faith because of persecutions, tribulation. And then we can also see worldliness, secularize. The church become worldly or secularized. There's this threat, this danger. Of course, there's also the threat of heresy. All this we are able to see in the New Testament. Therefore, at the end of the first century, the church were experiencing all this threat. This become danger to the church. And truly, we are able to see that the church declined and the church fell to the extent that the Holy Spirit departed from God's kingdom. Let us see Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. This becomes the structure of the book of Revelation. Write the things which we have seen. Especially, John has seen the situation of the church in chapters 2 and 3. So, he wrote to the seven churches in Asia. Here we can see the situation of the church during the end of the first century entering into the second. So here, the message to the churches, we are able to see the church experiencing all those threats, all those danger. Some already declining, some going to be overcome. And then we can see there are those who also stood firm, but the danger was very real. So John saw the things which are, but the Lord also revealed the things which will take place after these things. Therefore, truly, the apostolic church declined, fell because of all these threats. And then later, the Spirit of the Lord departed from the church, the kingdom of God. But this work must continue. The apostolic church, they have already done the will of the Lord during that time. Let us see Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So therefore, with the Holy Spirit, with truth, with signs, miracles, and wonders. So the apostolic church, they fulfilled the entrusted mission of the Lord at that time. Therefore then, the churches was established in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the boundary of the Roman Empire. But then, as we have said, during the end of the first century, entering into the second century, the church declined. And then the church fell, the Spirit of God departed. But how? How can this work continue? Therefore, there must be a revival of the apostolic church. Therefore, there must be the restoration of the apostolic church. So, the very important work of salvation that is of the theme of the Bible can be fulfilled. Let us see, just now we have mentioned how John also saw the things that will take place after this. Let's see chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Therefore, here, the Lord revealed to John what must take place after the apostolic church. After these things, I looked and behold. So after these things, after chapter 2 and chapter 3 that relate to us the situation of the apostolic church at that time. So there's this threat, this danger. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, say, "Come up here, I will show you what must take place after these things." So a door standing open in heaven, the Lord wants to reveal. And then he said, "Come up here, I will show you what must take place after these things." That means after apostolic church. Truly, the church declined. But how? How can the entrusted commission be continued? How can the Lord continue to save, but he saved through the church? So there must be a revived apostolic church, the restoration of the true church in the end time. Let's see chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 verse 1. Revelation chapter 5 verse 1. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back sealed up with seven seals. If we link up chapter 4 verse 1 with chapter 5 verse 1, chapter 4 verse 1 tells us, I will show you what must take place after these things. Where is it recorded? All these things that must take place, where is it recorded? So in chapter 5 verse 1, it is recorded in a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. So what must take place after the apostolic church? It's all written in this sealed book. Now let us see chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So, what is the first thing that will happen after the fall, the decline of the apostolic church? So, the Lord here revealed, when the first seal is open, we can see there's this white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So we understand this white horse, it is the true Jesus church. Therefore, the Lord establishes the true Jesus church. This is the revived, restored apostolic church to continue the work of salvation. Therefore, we can see the church went out conquering and to conquer. And then victoriously a crown was given to him. And then he who sat on it had a bow. Or especially the Holy Spirit. When there's Holy Spirit, there's truth, there's signs, miracles, and wonders to conquer, to preach the gospel, to save soul. Therefore, then here we are able to see the revived apostolic church. Therefore, the Lord here revealed to John what must happen, what must take place after these things. So today, through Jesus Church, we are the revived apostolic church. Just now we have mentioned the destruction, restoration of the temple in the Old Testament. Solomon's temple, destroyed, rebuilt. Zerubbabel's temple. The destruction, restoration of the temple in the Old Testament typify the decline and restoration of the true church in the New Testament. So the apostolic church was the first church on earth, but then declined, fell, the Holy Spirit departed. But then there's this restoration of the true church. So this is true Jesus church. As in Old Testament, the rebuilding of the temple, it is the work of the Spirit. God told Zechariah, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. So the work of restoration is the work of the Holy Spirit. Same today, through Jesus church. It is the Holy Spirit that restores, that establishes the true Jesus church. And then, the temple was rebuilt as in the days of old, in its former site. Let us see Ezra. Ezra chapter 6, verse 7. Ezra chapter 6, verse 7. Leave this work on the house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews rebuild this house of God on its site. So, the house, the temple, is to be rebuilt on its site, its former site. Therefore, in Ezra chapter 3, we can see the building of the foundation. Therefore, the temple, it was rebuilt in its former site as in the days of old. So, through Jesus Christ, the same. Our foundation is founded upon the Lord Jesus and then also the teachings of the apostles. And then, let's see Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declare the Lord of hosts. So here, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. Through Jesus church, the latter, the glory will be greater than the former. Because it is through Jesus church that the salvation plan of the Lord will be completed. And then, through Jesus church, in this place, I will give peace, declare the Lord of hosts. It is through us, through Jesus church, that the salvation plan will be completed. Therefore, today, through Jesus church, we are the revived apostolic church. We have this mission to revive, restore the apostolic church, to revive especially the spirit of evangelism, pastoring, and then the spirit of worship service. Therefore, this is the first mission of true Jesus Church. We are to revive, restore the apostolic church. So every member, we must be conscious of this. We are the only true church. Salvation plan will be completed in us. Let's see the next mission of the church. The next mission of the church is that we are to correct the other Christian denomination. We are to correct the other Christian denomination. So this has to do with evangelism. Evangelism to Christians. In the Old Testament, we can see Elijah. Elijah turned the apostate Israel back to God. So Elijah, he turned the apostate Israel back to God. This is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. It is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's see Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Let's see verse 5 and 6. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. We understand just now, in the Old Testament, especially 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, how he turned the apostate Israel back to God. And he'll say, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the heart of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. So there's this prophecy, the coming of Elijah. Of course, this is to be fulfilled in John the Baptist. This is to be fulfilled in John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. Luke chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." So, to turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God, it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this Elijah to come, it is firstly John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, he fulfilled this prophecy. But then, this Elijah to come before the coming of the great and terrible day, this is also the true church, the true Jesus church in the end time, whereby the true church, we do this work to preach the gospel, to prepare for the second coming of the Lord. In the Bible, we can see the lordship of the house of Israel. Today, the lordship of the house of Israel, we should preach to them. That is to say, the Christian of other denominations, they have a zeal for the Lord, but not according to knowledge, as what the Bible says. Let's see John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 16. John chapter 10, verse 16. "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." Of course, contextually, here speak about salvation for the Jews, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. But to further extend, here we are able to see, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold." That's to say, there are still others outside, also Christian from other denomination. "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice." Most important, they will hear the voice of the Lord, the truth. "And they will become one flock with one shepherd." Therefore, today we have this mission to evangelize to Christian, to correct the other Christian denomination, to denounce their errors whereby they have strayed from. It's because they have been blinded. Therefore, with the spirit of courage, let's see Micah. Micah chapter 3, verse 8. Micah 3, verse 8. "On the other hand, I am filled with power, with the spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage, to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin." So here, we can see the determination of Micah, the spirit. He was filled with power, with the spirit, with justice and courage to make known the rebellious act and then the sin. So therefore today, we must be courageous to denounce the errors and to tell them. See Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. "This is our work. See, I've appointed you this day over the nation, over the kingdom, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, to plant." So we are to do this work. We have been appointed over the nations, over the kingdom. So we have to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to throw down what is not biblical, and then to build and to plant what is biblical. So today we have this commission to evangelize to Christian, to correct the other Christian denomination. Let's see the third mission of True Jesus Church. We are to preach to atheistic, idolatrous unbelievers. So this is evangelism to non-Christians. Let's see Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, today, we have this commission to preach to atheistic, idolatrous unbelievers. Through the truth, through the Spirit, through the love of the Lord, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance to be saved. Therefore, the church, we must be urgent. See Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. So the church, we must be urgent. We can see how God, at the very last moment, He wants to save before the destruction of the world. We must be able to see this vision. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. So the angel, the messenger, the church, we are the angel flying in the midst of heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So we have this responsibility, we have this gospel, this truth, the eternal gospel. So we are to preach, we are to preach to everyone, everyone who lives on the earth, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. And with what spirit? With a loud voice, very courageous, very bold, very urgent, just like the angel flying, very urgent, very fast. What are we to preach? Fear God, give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. So today, we are to preach. We are to preach to atheistic unbelievers. And then, our fourth mission, the fourth mission of the True Jesus Church, we are to completely construct the true church. We are to completely construct the true church to make the church ready, to make her ready for the Lord. Let's see Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. So the marriage of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. So the church, the bride, has made herself ready. Let's see chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 verse 2. Revelation 21 verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. So make ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The true church must be completely constructed, the church, to make herself ready. Therefore, the church, we focus upon especially pastoring, nurturing, cultivating our members, so that they will live a life of faith, hope, and love. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. How the church must focus upon faith, hope, and love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope, So we can see faith, hope, love, very important. Paul also mentioned this, abide in faith, hope, and love. So how the church must abide in faith, hope, and love, especially the faith, must be a positive, lively, active faith, a saving faith, a faith that is accompanied by works. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. So obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of the soul. So faith, very important. The faith must be a saving faith, a lively, active faith. And then how the faith must be able to stand firm, very steadfast, immovable. And then how the church must live in hope. The hope of, focus upon the hope of eternal reward, the future resurrection, the hope of glory. And then love, very important. Abide in love, especially. This is focus. This focus can be seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But then, every member to be filled with love. There's no fear in love. Let's see 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse 17, 18. 1 John 4, 17, 18. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fear is not perfected in love. Therefore, today, if we love, we live a life of love. There's no fear in the day of judgment. Therefore, the church today, we must make ourselves ready. The church, we must abide in faith, hope, and love. And then, the church must also focus upon holiness, godliness. Let's see 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So this world will be destroyed. Verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So here stresses the importance of holiness, holy conduct and godliness. Very important. This especially can be seen in the book of Titus. In the book of Titus. Therefore, today the church, we must focus upon spiritual nurture cultivation. And then focus upon attaining holiness, godliness. Of course, we must rely upon the love of Jesus, working of the Holy Spirit, the washing of the word. More importantly, we confess, repent. The blood of Jesus continuously cleanses. How can the church be righteous? Righteousness is through water baptism. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. We are declared righteous. But after that, we continue to fall short. That is sin. But how can we be righteous in the eyes of God? That is to say, when we confess, repent, the blood of Jesus continuously cleanses us. And this is how the church can be perfected. It's because of the blood of Jesus. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus, the word of the Lord that cleanses. And then, at last, the church, we should focus upon spiritual maturity to strive for maturity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a matured man, to a matured man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And then verse 14 say, we no longer be children. No longer be children. Be matured. And then verse 15 tells us how we must grow up in all aspects in Him who is the head of Christ. And then verse 16, how the whole body, we work together, we join together, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love, causes the body to grow. We must grow to maturity. Therefore, today, what is glorious? A glorious is whereby everyone, we are conscious of the commission to fulfill the entrusted commission. This is everyone's responsibility. So the mission of the true Jesus Church, we are to revive, restore the apostolic church. We are the only true church. Salvation plan will be completed in us. Do our part, our role. And then we are to correct the other Christian denomination to evangelize to Christians. We are also to preach to atheistic, idolatrous, unbelievers, evangelism to non-Christian. And then focus upon to completely construct the true church. Make ourselves ready as a bride to be received by the bridegroom. This is glorious church. Let's sing hymn 174. 174. Mm-hmm.
the future Jesus established. God is in His holy place. Sing glory to Lord Jesus, who forever reign in grace. The true church is now raised up. This is the promise of the Lord. Glory to His holy name. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. The true church is established by the Holy Spirit's power. Sing glory to Lord Jesus during this most blessed hour. The true church is now raised up, truly her foundation found. Alleluia, praise His name. Glory, sing hallelujah.
We give thanks to our Lord Jesus. May the Lord continue to guide, lead, and to bless each and every one. In the name of Jesus, we will kneel down to pray.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Yeah.
Our Sabbath service, we end here. Peace may to all. May the Lord bless. Amen.